Psalm 128, we're going to read the whole psalm. It's only short, but it's a very encouraging psalm. It's a psalm that focuses on fearing the Lord. Psalm 128, beginning with verse number 1. Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. This psalm here is a psalm that was particularly for the Jewish people, but there are principles in the psalm that are really good and they're helpful for us. You know, when we think about the fear of the Lord, the word fear often brings to our mind dread or terror or shivering with a fearful event that takes place in our lives. But you know, the fear of the Lord has some degree of that aspect, but it's also got a very positive. In fact, there's probably far more positive about the fear of the Lord than there is negative. And one man named Peter Stevenson put it this way. He said, the phrase the fear of the Lord describes the reverential attitude of submission to the Lord, not an intense feeling of terror. Warren Wiersbe adds to that. He says, if we truly fear the Lord, we acknowledge from our hearts that He is the Creator and we are the creatures. He is the Father, we are His children. He is the Master, we are His servants. It means to respect God for who He is, to listen carefully to what He says, to obey His word, knowing that our disobedience displeases Him, breaks our fellowship with Him, and invites His chastening. It is not servile fear as a slave toward his master, but reverential and respectful fear of a child before his parent. The fear of the Lord is something that is a bit, perhaps, difficult to really define clearly. It's maybe even more difficult for us to grasp. Let me quote from another author, Stephen Kendrick, and he put it this way. He said, God is love, but He is also to be feared. The fear of the Lord is a holy, reverent respect for God that causes us to take Him very, very seriously, realizing He is all-knowing, all-powerful, and completely holds our lives, our universe, our judgment, and our eternal destiny in His hands. You know, when we can see the greatness of our God, and you know, I think that it'll help us if we can just grasp who God is, the greatness of our Creator. And if we can grasp that, it'll help us to have a greater fear of God, a respect, an awe for God. One of the things that is undermining the fear of God in our world today is the theory of evolution. Evolution tries to tell us that we evolved over billions of years from slime on the pond. God tells us that He created us in His own image. He created us in every detail, exactly the way He wants us to be, approximately 6,000 years ago when God created man. And as you think about how wonderfully designed your body is, with approximately 50 trillion cells in your body, every one of them functioning exactly the way God designed them to be. Absolutely impossible for evolution. Absolutely impossible to have just happened by mistake. God has perfectly designed us. And why did God do this? Why did God create us in His own image? Why did God make us as He did? He did it because He wanted fellowship with us. And yet our God, that Creator, that awesome God of the universe, is a God who is absolutely holy. And because He is absolutely holy and wants to fellowship with us, the only way we can fellowship with Him is if we too are holy. And that poses a problem. we often do not live lives that are very holy. In our very nature, we're sinful in our nature. And we need a personal relationship with Christ in order to have that kind of fellowship with God. And we find here that we need to learn to fear God. To learn to fear God. It's not something we inherit, although we should learn it from our family. All right? But it's not something that is just in our genes to fear God. It is something that we learn. In fact, you can read through the Bible and it tells us that the people learned to fear God. The king was to have his own copy of the scriptures and read it every day so that he could learn to fear God. And you know, we can learn to fear God. You may not fear God as much as you should today, but you can learn to fear God. You can develop that. You can learn it. You can gain a fear for God that will be a help. And you know, if we will learn to fear God now, we will have no fear of God on Judgment Day. But those who do not learn to fear God now have everything to fear on Judgment Day. Because our God is a holy God, a righteous God, a God who will hold us accountable for the way we live. But if we'll learn to fear Him now, the blessings of fearing God now are abundant. And we're going to look at a number of the blessings that God has for us, for those of us who will fear God this morning. As we look at this, we start out in that psalm, and he starts out the very first verse, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord." Blessed. The word blessed also means happy. But it's the idea here that God will make you happy. He will bless your life if you will fear Him. Now we ask ourselves, well, why would that be the case? Well, it's because God knows what is absolutely best. He knows what is best for our lives. And if we'll fear Him and listen to Him and obey Him and do what He says, we can avoid a lot of problems. You know, as a parent, many of you are parents, and you can you probably remember, as I can, of times you're telling your children something to do. And you tell them, do it this way. But being a child, they want to do it their way. And they do it their way and they get hurt. And you think, I told you. You know, and God looks down at us many times, and I have this feeling that God's looking at us and said, I've told you how to live. If you'll do it my way and you'll fear me and respect me and honor me and obey me, all will be well. But if you do it your way, you're going to get hurt. So God, when He wants us to fear Him, the reason He wants us to fear Him is so we will respect Him, so we will honor Him, so that we will obey Him, because if we do, then we'll be blessed. And we'll avoid all kinds of problems in life and we'll receive many blessings in our life for doing that. Number one, I want us to notice here that there are physical blessings for fearing the Lord. He mentions several of these here in this psalm. Verse number 2 says, "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." He's talking about the physical blessings. God will meet our physical needs if we will fear Him. God has the ability to provide for us. He talks here about the provision of working with your hands and then being able to work and being able to provide for your family and being able to see God provide and meet the needs in your life. You know, our very health is in the hands of God. We saw just a moment ago that God's hands were around Ronnie and Lenny this week and protected them. They could have lost their lives this week. They could have been crippled for life. But God met the need. God cared for them. And God's hand is around those that fear Him. If we'll stay close to God, God will provide for us and meet our needs. Now, that doesn't mean that we'll never have any problems. You know, sometimes people think, well, you know, if I stay close to God, I'll never have any problems again in my whole life. Well, it doesn't work that way. Life is full of problems. But we've got a wonderful comforter there if we know the Lord is our Savior and we're walking close to Him. You think with me to the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel. Remember that? Daniel chapter 3. And the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were faithful to God. And they told the king. The king said, all right, I've got this great image and you're going to have to bow down and worship it. And if you don't bow down and worship it, you're going to go into the fiery furnace. And they came to the king and said, oh, king, we fear our God. And we're not going to bow to your image. It doesn't matter. If He throws us in the fire, that's fine. But our God's able to protect us if He wants to. But if He doesn't, we're still not going to bow to your God. We'll burn in the fire, but we're not going to bow to your God. And God was with them, and you read there in that section, verses 23 to 25 of Daniel 3, how that they did go to the fiery furnace. And as they were in the fiery furnace, the king looked at it and started trembling, and he said, didn't we throw three guys into the fire? I see four men walking around inside of the fire, and one of them looks like the Son of God. See, God met a need in their life. Now, God doesn't always do that. God doesn't always rescue us from problems like that. There's been millions of Christians who have died as martyrs. God doesn't always protect from martyrdom either. But God is there as our guide and our protection if we're close to Him. So He said, if you'll fear Me, I will meet your needs. I will care for you. And fearing God is also staying close to God. It's being so close to God that God is able then to bless our lives. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinner, and sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and His law doth he meditate day and night. And if we do what God wants, He will bless. We read over in the book of Romans, where God tells us in Romans 8, verse 31, says, what should we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, if you will fear God, and God is on your side, you've got nothing to fear. Because God and you make a majority. And God said that I will be with you, I will bless you physically if you will fear Me. If you will have a respect and an awe and a fear of disobeying Me and a desire to please Me. You know, when we think about the fear of God, again, it's not the same kind of fear that you have of a big dog. You know, when I was a kid, my neighbor had a dog that I was terrified of. And one day that dog got loose, and I was back at our barn taking care of some of the animals, and I walked out, and there's this dog. I was scared of that dog. And I don't know whether the dog would have hurt me or not, but I was terrified of that dog. And it was just one of those trembling things. You know, you just shake all over when you're scared. Now, that's not the way it ought to be with God. Now, yes, there ought to be respect and fear of God. And if we've done wrong, we have every right to be terrified of God, because God said, if you do wrong, I will deal with it. But the overall fear of God is more of the respect, the awe, the honor of being in the presence of the Creator of the universe, the One who spoke the stars into space. When we read there in the Psalms, when He said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. And how it says that by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. That's our awesome God. The greatest being in the whole universe, God. And He wants us to fear Him. If we do, He said, He'll bless us. And bless us physically. We find also, as He goes on here, He talks about the physical blessing of our family. Verse number 3. He says that thy wife shall be fruitful vine on the sides of the house. Now, that doesn't... He's using it as a picture. He's obviously not saying your wife is crawling up the side of the house and, you know, anything like that. He's saying, you know, they would plant a vine next to the house, and they would take care of it, and they water it would get lots of care, and it would often be a fruitful vine, and it would produce abundantly because it was right there where they could take good care of it and keep a good eye on. And he says, that's the way your wife will be. You will have a great relationship with your spouse if you fear God. You know, that is so true. If you will truly fear God, your relationship with your spouse will be much improved. If you'll fear God and do things God's way. He goes on and he talks about our children. And he says, thy children, like olive plants around about thy table. Again, the olive was both the grape and the olive were vital to the lifestyle of the Jewish people. And so the wife was compared to the grapevine, and the children were compared to the olive tree, and that would abundantly provide. And the idea here is that if we will fear God, our children will learn to fear God. And if our children learn to fear God, they will be a blessing instead of a burden. You know, there's nothing heavier than the burden of wayward children. And we can avoid much of that if we will fear God. Fear God in such a way that we instill it into our children. We live it in our life. So that the fear of God is part of our daily activities. So that we will take the time to honor God with having family daily family Bible time with our family. So that we will honor God to let our children see us give of our tithes and offerings to the local church. So they can see us worshiping God. So they can see us kneeling on our knees in prayer to God and spending time with God. They can see the fear of God in action in our lives. That will change their hearts. That'll make them a different person. It'll also give us the opportunity then to lead them to Christ as we discipline them and we help them and we train them and we teach them and lead them along in life in the way of the fear of God. The fear of God has the idea of, listen, I fear my God, I respect my God, and therefore whatever He said in this book, I am going to do everything I possibly can to fulfill it. And instead of trying to weasel out of it and try to find ways of avoiding doing what God said, we will gladly do it because I fear God and I want God's best for my life. And God said, if you'll do that, there will be blessings, physical blessings in your life. You will prosper. You'll have what you need to provide for your family. I will bless your family. I'll bless your relationship with your spouse. I'll bless your relationship with your children. Your children will be a blessing to you and not a burden to you. He says, I'll also bless you with long life. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to live to be 900. What it means is that you will live out the length of your days. You realize God knows exactly when He's ordained for you to die. You know, we don't often think about that, but God knows exactly the date He's chosen for me to die. And that's fine. I don't have any fear of that. But if I do wrong and I disobey God or I harm my body and I cause trouble to my body and my body gets sick because I haven't done right with my body or I haven't taken care of it, then that time may be shortened. Now, I can't blame God for that. I've done wrong. He's shortened the length of it. He's already set an ordained plan. The moment I was born, He knew when I was going to die. But if I mess up things and I do things that are wrong and I don't fear God, God says, I'll just shorten it a bit. I'll just shorten those times. We'll just take a few years away. Shorten those days until you straighten up and learn to do right. And sometimes that happens and we can shorten our lives. But God said, if we'll fear Him, we'll live out the length of our days. We'll live out the length of our days. Now, you know, sometimes we think, oh, you know, God's not very fair. You know, God knows exactly what He's doing. Whether the length of our days are 1 year or 900 years, that's not the issue. That's nothing for me to worry about. That's God's business. I just want to live out the length of my days. And if we'll live out the length of our days that God has planned for us, whether they be short or few, short or long, that's God's business. My business is doing what God wants so that I can live out the length that He wanted. You know, you may live to be, 95 years old, but if you don't live it in a way that honored God, it's not what He is pleased with. God wants us to live out our days in a way that would honor Him. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the Lord, years of the wicked shall be shortened. So, he talks about physical blessings if we fear God. Secondly, I want us to notice spiritual blessings if we fear God. Now, we don't see this specifically in this passage here before us, but there's many other verses in the Bible that talk about the spiritual blessings of fearing God. For example, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7 tells us that if we fear God, a spiritual blessing of fearing God is that God will give us knowledge. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The word knowledge here is in this verse is a word that doesn't just mean learning. You know, we think of knowledge, you know, the kids go off to school to get knowledge. I'm not sure how much knowledge they get in some of the public schools these days, but they might get a little bit. But they go off to school for that purpose of getting knowledge. And yet that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about the word has the idea of discerning or perception, being able to make discerning and perceptive choices in life. It's very, very close to the word wisdom. And he says here, if we will fear God, if in order to get this kind of knowledge, we've got to fear God. In other words, he said, if you don't fear God, you cannot have this kind of knowledge. That's why your neighbor that doesn't know Jesus Christ as his Savior and has no fear of God, he doesn't have that kind of knowledge. He doesn't have that discernment and perception to be able to make wise and careful choices that would obey God and honor God and fulfill out his life. He doesn't have that perception. He doesn't have that ability. It only comes by fearing God. Sadly, many Christians don't have that judgment either because they're not walking in the fear of God. And we need to have that. If we will fear God, we can have this kind of knowledge. And we gain it by studying God's Word, the Bible, so that we can learn what is right and wrong. You know, by studying this book, you can learn what God says is right and what God says is wrong. And when you see that, then you, if you have that knowledge, you will say, all right, then I've got to do this, what He said, in order for my life to be happy and acceptable and pleasing in God's sight. And so we make a choice to do what we're supposed to do. That is the fear of God in our life. If we will submit to God in that highly and highly respect Him for who He is. We'll say, God told me here that I'm to obey my parents. I don't want to obey my parents, but I'm going to obey my parents anyway because God told me to, and that's the right thing to do. Or whatever the command is in the Bible. But it's there for our good so that we can learn and gain and become all that God wants us to be. But we find also there's another spiritual blessing. That is the spiritual blessing of wisdom. God says in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, He says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. He says if we'll fear God, that's the beginning of wisdom. You can't have wisdom without fearing God. Now wisdom is a word that refers to skill or prudence or shrewdness. It is the way I would like to define wisdom is the God-given ability to make right choices. It is the God-given ability to make right choices. If you want to make right choices in life, you need God's wisdom, that God-given ability to make right choices. And God said that wisdom comes from fearing God. If you will fear God, you can have His wisdom. You can have that God-given ability to make right choices in life if you'll fear God. If you'll put God first in your life and let Him be the one who is in control of your life because you respect Him and honor Him and you humbly yield to Him and to let Him be the Lord of your life. You know, if we'll do that, fearing God will highlight our need for wisdom. You ever notice the closer you get to God, the more you see your own failures. The closer you draw to God, the more you can see what a mess your life is. And how many failures you have. And how much need you have of God's wisdom. Because I just don't have it, God. I can't do it. And you know, the further a person is from God, many times they think they're pretty smart, pretty good, and they got everything all figured out. But as you draw closer to God and God begins to reveal Himself to us, we see His awesomeness and we see our puniness and our need for a great God. And we see our need for wisdom. It also motivates us to diligently study the Bible for truth. If you fear God, it'll motivate you to get into the book and say, I need to learn more. I need to learn more. I'm going to spend time in the Bible. You know, it would be a wonderful thing if you would just say, you know, I'm going to stop wasting time, you know, and we all have times of relaxation, and I'm not belittling that, we all need that. But you know, many times we have wasted hours of our day. I heard something just recently, I don't remember where it was, we read it, but it was something like it was talking about America, and Australia is probably not much different, but they said that every American spends 5 hours a day sitting in front of the television set. 5 hours a day. I can't imagine that. I don't even have one. And if I had a television and spent 5 hours a day, I don't know what I'd get anything else done. But if you spend time in front of the television or if you spend time reading your novels or whatever it is that you may do with your spare time, there's nothing wrong with some hobby time. But we need to be careful that we don't say, well, I just don't have time to spend with God. God says, listen, if you fear me, you'll make time. You'll make time to get into the book. And you'll learn and study and gain from the Scriptures because you want to learn. You'll say, I fear God. I want to know God's mind. I am too foolish to make my own choices. I need God's wisdom. And you'll find it if you'll study for it. The fear in God will humble you to submit to His principles in the Word of God. It'll cause you to continually pray for His wisdom in your daily choices so that as you make a choice, you'll say, God, I need Your wisdom. I need to know what is Your choice in this. I don't want to buy this thing without knowing what Your will is. I don't want to make that choice unless I know it's Your will. I don't want to choose that vocation unless I know it's Your will. And all the choices of life. If we'll come to God and say, God, I need Your wisdom. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. God said, if you come to God for wisdom and ask Him, He will give it to you. But one of the ways to get wisdom is to fear God. That's where it all begins. So if you don't fear God, you're not going to get the wisdom. You've got to fear God in order to get on your knees and humbly pray and ask God for the wisdom. So it all starts with fearing God. We find another spiritual blessing. A third spiritual blessing is that it will keep you right with God. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 2 says, He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. He says that, he kind of turns it around the other direction. He says if we walk upright, it's because we fear God. You flip that around. If you fear God, you will be upright. All right? That's what he's talking about. It will keep your life right if you will fear God. You know, fearing God and keeping right with God go hand in hand. You can't separate the two. If you fear God and are walking with God and doing right, they all go together. And that's what God says. If you'll do that, it'll make your life better. It'll keep you doing what is right. And you know, as you look at your life, if there's an area of your life right now that you know is not right with God, you know, as you examine your heart and you look at the secret parts of your heart and you say, well, yeah, I know there's probably some areas of my life that don't please God. If that's the case, you don't really fear God. Because if you really fear God, you would realize God knows the secrets of my heart. Psalm 139 tells us very clearly, O God, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my downsitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He knows all about us. And if we can have a secret little part of our life that we shut off, and this is our own little private corner, and we shut that door and pretend God's not around with that door, we're fooling ourselves. We don't really fear God. If we truly fear God, we'll open those doors, get rid of the garbage that's in there, and let God have complete control of everything. Because we cannot hide it from God anyway, and if we think we have, we're fooling ourselves. So he says here, the fear of the Lord and uprightness go hand in hand. So if you'll fear God, you'll live an upright life, and that's what God wants. That's what will be a blessing for you. So there's spiritual blessings. Then we find also some social blessings that God brings our way if we'll fear Him. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 13 tells us that fearing God will help us do right. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. God said, if we'll fear Him, we'll hate what He hates and love what He loves. Wouldn't that be great? In your life, and in my life, if we truly hated what God hates and truly loved what God loves, that'd be great. That'd be wonderful. And God said, if we'll truly fear Him, that's exactly what we can do. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6 says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. By fearing God, we depart from evil. You know, there's that fear of God, that respect for God, that awe for God, that honor for God. And we would not do it something wrong because we honor Him. You know, sometimes we may think, you know, to put it into perspective, maybe you highly honor your mom or your father or maybe an auntie or some special relative in your life, and you think of they respect you and they think highly of you and you just love them and they're a great person in your life, and you think the next time you go to do something you know is wrong, would you do it if they were sitting by your side? I mean, that person you really loved and respected, whether it's your mom or your dad or your auntie or somebody else, if they were right sitting beside you, you know, when you flick on the channel and some filthy show comes on, would you sit there and watch it with them? When you're flipping through a magazine, you see a dirty picture, would you look at it with them? Would you, when you're listening to music that you know doesn't honor God, would you turn it on and let them listen with you? I don't think we would. Because we would be ashamed, because we respect and honor that person. And yet, far greater than that is the God of the universe. The awesome God of the universe that created us. And He is the sustainer of all things. He knows all things. We can't hide anything from Him. And yet, sometimes we don't fear Him enough to say, God, I can't do those things anymore. I just can't, because I love You, I want to honor You, and I respect You, and I am ashamed of myself for doing those things or thinking those things or being whatever it is in our life. We will do right if we'll honor God, if we'll fear Him as we should. See, the fear of the Lord is very, very positive. And it'll help us to do what is right. There's social blessings there in our lives. And as we do, again, there in Psalm 1 when He said, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. God said there's blessings for that person who does not do the wrong, but does the right. God wants to bless us. You know, God is not a big bully up in heaven with a whip just waiting for you to step out of line so He can smack at you. God doesn't do that. God is a loving Father that longs to have you do what is right so He can rejoice and bless your life. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless your life. God wants to help to give you the very best in this life to bless you. But many times we hold back the blessing because we don't fear Him. God says, if you'll fear Me, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. And so there's great blessing in doing right if we'll fear the Lord. We find also a social blessing is that fearing the Lord will help us to choose right friends. It'll help us to choose the right kind of friends. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Proverbs 23 verse 17. He said, if we'll fear God, we will not envy sinners. You ever caught yourself envying a sinner? I have. You think, you know, boy, they sure have it good. Should be nice to have what they got. And wow, look at that. They don't love God. They don't do anything right. Look at all the stuff they got. Boy, they got a nice fancy house. They got a boat. They got a car. They got all these nice things. And whew, boy, they don't even fear God. And sometimes the devil gets us thinking, oh, you know, boy, I kind of envy those guys. And God says, listen, if we'll fear Him, we got no desire to envy the sinner. If we'll fear God and realize God makes no mistake. God knows exactly what is best for my life. God knows exactly what will make me the most fulfilled and happy person on earth. God knows exactly what I need. I don't need what everybody else has. And just because somebody else has something that looks kind of nice, that doesn't mean it's for me. God will give me what I need if I will fear Him. If I'll just put Him first and say, Lord, You're in control. I trust You, God. I love You, God. I fear You. I want You to take full control of my life. I want You to be the one in charge of me. I don't want to do anything that would dishonor You. I don't want to do anything that would harm my relationship with You at all. God, keep me close to You. I fear You and I love You. And if we'll do that, it'll help us. And an area of choosing friends is one of those areas. If we'll fear God, you'll not want to be like the sinners. We'll not want to be like them if we're truly fearing God. We'll not want to be like those that are involved in the ungodly music and immoral movies and the cursing and the swearing and the nightclub environments and the godless friends. That kind of stuff won't appeal to a person who loves God and fears God. If those kind of things appeal to you, then it's because you don't have the fear of God that you need. Because if you'll truly fear God, the things that God loves, you'll love. The things that God hates, you'll hate. And you will not want that kind of thing. You will not want to be around those kind of friends that have the ungodly atmosphere and the ungodly environment of their life. That won't appeal to you. Envying sinners and fearing God are on the opposite extremes. They're negatives against each other. It's like the two magnets trying to push them together. They don't go together. Envying sinners and fearing God. So God says, if you fear Me, you're not going to envy those sinners. But we find that there's also an emotional blessing to fearing God. So we've seen so far the physical blessing of fearing God. We've seen the spiritual blessings of fearing God and social blessings for fearing God. But now let's just take a moment and look at a couple of emotional blessings for fearing God. This first one is really a neat one. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 26. Proverbs 14, 26. The fearing God will calm all other fears. Now that's pretty special. That's pretty special. Proverbs 14, verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. To have strong confidence in a place of refuge, God's saying here, you fear Me, and you're going to be in a safe place. I'll protect you. I'll meet your needs. And you know, again, I remember in childhood, times of fear. One of the things I've always feared when I was a little boy. Dad would often plant corn behind our house, and in order to get to the barn, you had to walk through the cornfield to get to the barn. It wasn't so bad when the corn was little, but when the corn was up here way, way over my head, I was scared at night to walk through the cornfield. If we had to walk back to the barn sometime in the night, I was terrified. I never wanted to be last in line. Dad would go first because I didn't want to go first either. But I wanted to make sure my brother was behind me even though I was older than him. You know, I was scared to be at the last because I don't know why. I just was scared. A little boy. But you know, if I was close to Dad and holding his hand, no fear at all. Wasn't afraid at all. Why? Because I was close to my dad. I knew nothing could happen when I was close to Dad. And there wasn't anything spooky or scary about going through the cornfield, but I was scared. It was tall and dark, and you'd hear the wind blowing in it, and it just sounded terrible. I was afraid. But there with Dad, no more fear. No fear. And so it is with God. If we'll stay close to God, there's no other fears. All the other fears of life don't have any real meaning if we're fearing God. And you say, well, Pastor, what happens if you know, something really bad happens? You know, the doctor says you got cancer and you're only going to live for 6 months. If we're fearing God, and God said that my number is due in 6 months, I've got nothing to fear. Now, it's easy to talk about. Harder when it happens. But, you know, I got a little taste of that a few years ago when I had a mole taken off my back and the doctor told me it was cancer. It was skin cancer. Thankfully, it wasn't melanoma. Now, the doctor told me later, he said, I was absolutely shocked that it wasn't melanoma. He said, I was 100% sure it was melanoma, but it wasn't. It was the lesser kind. It wasn't so bad. If it was melanoma, I may not be here today. But when I heard cancer in me, you know, the first response was a feeling of terror, and then God's peace came over my heart, and I felt like, well, okay, God. If it's my time, it's okay. And God gave me peace. Now, it didn't turn out to be as serious as I thought it might have been. But I did go through that moment of panic and the peace that God gave. You know, God can give us peace in any kind of terror situation. If we're fearing God. If you will fear God and put your life in His hands and walk close to Him and keep all the sin out of your life and have a sweet fellowship with God and fear Him because you love Him and you respect Him and you honor Him, and the worst thing in the whole world to you would be to dishonor God and make Him break His heart because you sinned. If you have that kind of an attitude toward God, all the other fears can go away because you have a refuge in Jesus. And that's what God wants. And God gives this to us. He offers it to us. Psalm 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He said, cast your burden on the Lord. Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He'll sustain you. He'll meet your need. You can also claim the promises of God's blessing. Here in our text, our opening text, Psalm 128 in verse number 4. We read earlier, he said, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. He said, this is how a man's going to be blessed that fears God. I'll take care of his family. I'll meet his needs. I'll give him his full life. I'll provide for him. I will take care of you if you fear me. And you know, if we'll truly fear God, we can claim that promise and say, that is my promise from God. God said, if I fear Him, He will care for me. I have nothing else to fear. God is in control of my life. There's no sweeter blessing than being right with God. There's no sweeter blessing than being right with God. You know, in your heart right now, if you're not right with God, you know that's a miserable way to be. We've all been there. When our heart's not been right with God, that is the most miserable place you can possibly be, is away from God. But if you'll get right with God, there is no sweeter place than to be right with God. to be able to look up in the face of the Lord and say, Lord, as far as I know, there's not one single thing between me and you. I've confessed everything I can think of, and if there's anything I've overlooked, Lord, please remind me so I can get it right. And have a completely clean heart before God. That's what God wants. If we'll do that, we can have a fear of God that will bring great blessing in our life. You can have the blessings we've talked about here this morning. Fearing the Lord transforms our thinking. It is a blessing and a protection. If you will fear God, it'll bless your life, it'll protect you from the things of the world and the wickedness that is out there that the devil wants to bring you away. You have got full blessing and protection from God if you'll fear Him. And so the challenge for us this morning is this. To take an honest look deep down inside. It doesn't do us any good to say, well, of course I fear God, and just brush it aside. But to take a true, honest look at your heart and ask yourself, do I really fear God? Do I really fear God? Deep down inside, do I fear Him enough to flee temptation? Do I fear God enough to obey His Word? Do I fear God enough to put Him first in every area of my life? Do I fear God enough to love my wife as I should and to rear my children in a God-fearing way? Do I really fear God like I should? And you know, if you have to admit, well, I'm probably not like I should, then the challenge goes out to each of us today. Let's determine to learn to fear God. The Bible says we can learn it, so it's not something that is not available. You can learn to fear God. It starts by spending time with God. Get into the book. Spend honest time with God every day, searching the Scriptures. Not just reading the page to keep the devil away, but to search the Scriptures to learn, to grow, to gain. And search for God and say, God, would you please teach me today from the Word? Show me what I need to know so I can fear you. And then begin a study. Study in your own heart and study out the Scriptures. And if you need some help, come see me. But study the attributes of God. What is God like? His holiness, His righteousness, His mercy. All of the attributes of God. Begin studying them. It'll give you a greater perspective of the awesomeness of our great God. Begin studying over His character, the qualities of God. The more you can know about God, the greater you'll fear Him. And we can learn it. It's something that God says we can by spending time with Him and spending time in prayer with God. God's worked on my heart about the need of spending more time in prayer. I need to spend more time with God in prayer. I pray every day, pray quite a bit every day, but I need more time with God in prayer. And I dare say we probably all do. More time with God in prayer. God will bless us if we do. It'll be a joy to our heart if we do. But you know, the very first thing that the fear of God will do in any of our lives is it'll bring conviction of sin. If we will truly fear God, the first thing that it does in every one of our hearts is it causes conviction of sin in our life. We start to genuinely fear God, and God begins to point out things and uncover the rugs where we've hid our dirt. And He says, what about that? What about this? What about over here? And it begins to convict our hearts. But you know, it starts that conviction in a person's life that doesn't even know Christ as their Savior. You know, I don't see your hearts this morning. I can't just assume that all of you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I don't know. But if you perhaps do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you will begin to fear God today, that fear of God will begin to convict you of sin, and it'll bring you to the place where you can see, I need Jesus as my Savior. Just being part of a Christian family or going to a Baptist church is not going to get you into heaven. But it's a personal relationship with Christ. If you've never confessed your sin and trusted Christ, you need to. That's where it begins. If you'll fear God, it'll bring conviction, and that conviction will bring you to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I urge you to deal with that today. If you know Christ as your Savior, and there's things in your life that shouldn't be there, if you'll fear God, it will help you to deal with those things, and it'll help you get those things out of your life, and to be able to live a life that's pleasing to God.